Our New Testament passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And I'm going to be reading verses 25 through 34 today. I didn't bookmark it either, so some of you may meet me there. Got it. Anybody beat me? Well, you have a tablet, so that's easy. If I had pulled up on my phone, I'd have gotten there even quicker. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields which are here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. This is the word of God for the people of God today.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know about you, but I surely have loved seeing the changing of the season over the last couple of weeks. I like summer, don't get me wrong, it can be fun, but I love fall. Fall is by far my favorite season, and not just because my birthday's in fall, although that's a bonus. I just love fall. I love the cooler temperatures. I love the sight of all of the leaves and the changing colors. And also, it just there's something about it that feels joyful for me. Maybe it's the anticipation of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Maybe it is just the fact that it's cool and you can be outside and do whatever you want and you won't get hot. And also, I personally like layers, although during the summer I get so hot that I'm finding the shortest sleeve shirt that I can possibly wear. You notice I'm wearing suits again. It's because it's cool enough that I can actually wear them. I love fall. And I do love all the seasons, but fall in particular. And as I was thinking about what to preach on this past week, there was one thing that just kept coming back in my mind. And I looked at various different passages. I looked at the lectionary, and nothing seemed to strike home quite as much as a particular song that kept coming back into my mind. And that is, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And particularly, I think it's the second verse of that song. I'm going to open up to that real quick. That is
130?
What?
40.
140. I was 10 off. I thought 130. 140. Yeah, the second one. I love the words of the second verse. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. I love that verse, and it reminds me of various passages from Scripture, but in particular, the promise that God gives after the flood. I was at the Ark the first week of this month, and then I've been talking about creation the last couple weeks, so those first 11 chapters of Genesis have really been in the forefront of my mind. And after the flood, after God sends the destroying flood to purge the earth of all of the sin and corruption that had built up in that first about 1,600 years of existence, it's hard to believe that things got so corrupt in such a short amount of time. Then again, if you look at some of our politicians, it may not be that big of a stretch. But after that destruction, God made a promise. He said, as long as the earth endures, summer, winter, springtime, harvest will never cease. In other words, as long as the earth endures, I will provide for you. And we read in the Psalms and in Job how God moves the seasons. He orchestrates the seasons. He causes the rain to fall in due season. He brings the harvest about. And from season to season, whether it is the blazing hot 100-degree weather of summer or the below freezing negative however many degrees temperature of the winter, in which I just want to cuddle up in a blanket next to a fire and not move, God is always there. He is always providing for us. We serve a faithful God. And He continues providing for our needs. All we have to do is to trust in Him. I think oftentimes we can take for granted the things that we have. You know, I am blessed that in my lifetime I've never had to go hungry. Although there were times I didn't know it, but we were very close to going hungry. God provided for us at times in my childhood when I was completely oblivious to the situation that we were in. But I never went hungry, not once. Because God always provided. Now I know that there are those who do have to go hungry, who don't have food every day. And when they would hear a sermon like this, I think they would tend to say, okay, that's great. Lord, what are you providing for me? But I remind you, what Jesus said when he was tempted in the wilderness, man does not live on bread alone. That is important, don't get me wrong. I like food. But God provides for us in so many ways. He provides for us spiritual food in times of spiritual darkness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He provides for us in our darkest moments. And even those who hit absolute rock bottom sometimes find that they just had to get down there so that they could learn to trust in God. I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you that everything's always going to be perfectly okay, rainbows and sunshines, you're never going to have to worry about anything. If I was telling you that, then I'd be lying. I'd be trying to sell something, and I'd be preaching with a great big smile on my face at a megachurch somewhere down south, and I'll leave that unnamed. You know who I'm talking about. And nothing against him, you know, I love Smiley, but the lie that everything's always just going to be perfectly easy is the kind of thing that the devil uses to trap us in our contentness. Because, on the contrary, Jesus promises, you will have trials and tribulations. It's not what you wanted to hear, is it? You will have trials and tribulations. Things will go wrong in your life. But that's okay. Because we serve a great God who is faithful in all circumstances, in all situations. And even when life seems to drag us through the lowest and filthiest gutter, God is still there. He is there in the good times and in the bad. He is there in the times of plenty, and he's there in the times of famine. And in hindsight, you know, they all say hindsight is 20/20. In hindsight, we'll see in those times of famine, God was preparing us beforehand. He was filling up our storehouses during the time of plenty, so that in those times of famine and hardship, we'd have what we needed to get by. I am constantly amazed at the ways in which God exceeds our expectations. And he always gives more than we ask for. Maybe not in the way that we would need. Because sometimes we're asking for $1 million and he says, you can make do with. Of course, if I was given $500,000, that'd be wonderful. That's just one example. We often ask for a lot, and maybe God will give us a little, but if we're faithful with a little, we're faithful with what he gives us, then we'll be given. That may not always be, that will not always be material. Oftentimes, God's blessings is poured out more in the spiritual. But he will always give us what we need. You know, as we look around this sanctuary today, I'm happy for each one of you that's sitting here. For each one of you that's sitting here, I think we could all mention someone who was here 2-3 years ago that's not sitting here now. And that can be disheartening at times. And I'll admit, it has been disheartening at times. There have been days I've come in here by myself and knelt here at this altar and just cried out to the Lord saying, what do we do? We're trying, but yet our numbers keep going down. You know, I firmly believe that the size of a church is not based off of the number of butts sitting in pews. It is based off of the hearts. And although numerically we may be a bit lower in numbers, in heart, I see a stronger church than when I got here. And that's not implying that those who are not here were dragging us down. I don't believe that at all. But we've had a tough couple of years, haven't we? We've had to deal with being completely shut down. It was no fun sitting here alone preaching to a camera. It was a little bit better when I had Ryan and Martha and Tina and a couple others here helping me run the service. But it's so much more fun to preach to a room full of people. We've been through a lot, but God has gotten us through it. We're still here. These doors still open every single Sunday. And if you will continue to trust God, he will provide for us. Do you believe that? I believe that today. And I would love to see the day when there is not a single open seat in this sanctuary. That'd be awesome. A day like Pentecost where we are bursting at the seams. That would be wonderful to see. But you know, that's not my goal. And if that never happens in any of our lifetimes, that's okay. Because I'm not here to get butts in pews. I'm here to work alongside you for the ministry of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that even if we were to dwindle down to only 5 people sitting here on Sunday, which I hope not to see, I don't want that to happen. But I believe even if that were to happen, if those 5 were to remain true to the Lord and trust in Him, that God could produce a spiritual bounty greater than we have ever seen in this community. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to be His hands and feet here in Lancaster. We are His church. And there may be things that we can't do. We don't have a big gym to be able to host upward basketball. That would be a lot of fun. Of course, Baptist Church does a good job of that. We don't have a huge sanctuary to host a 500-person conference. Actually, I don't think any of the churches in town have that. We may not have the manpower to do some things out in this community. But there are things that you can do. There are things that God has equipped each one of you to do to bring glory to the kingdom of God. And I don't know what all of that is. I know what my ideas are. I know what I feel equipped to do. But I don't know what God has equipped each one of you to do. I know some of the gifts and graces that each of you have. But what I also know is that God's got a job for each one of us. He's got a job and a role for Lancaster United Methodist Church. Whether we keep the name United on our building or not. He's got a job for this family. You are one of the most loving congregations I've ever met. I've met several congregations. And that love is reflected in those who choose to come in and be a part of our congregation when they've had to leave other church homes. It's reflected in the love that is shown when one of our brothers or sisters loses someone they love. And it is reflected in the kindness shown when we find out that there is someone in need and there's something that we can do about it. So this morning, my brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you, don't be discouraged. I hope that within the near future, we'll be able to see a lot more people in this sanctuary. People of all ages. I love hearing babies laugh and worship. It never bothers me. In fact, it just puts a smile on my face. But whatever happens, trust in the Lord. Great is His faith. He pours out new mercies upon us each and every day. We just can't lose hope. Don't lose faith. But trust Him. Amen. Before we come to the table of our Lord today, I want to take a moment. I want us to thank God for all that He has done. Thank God for those who have been a part of this congregation over the last however many years it has existed. And even thank God for those who are not with us anymore because they've chosen to find a different church home. What they contributed during their time here has led to where we are today. I'm going to ask each of you to join me in praying for them and blessing them wherever they may be. And then asking God to reveal to us, where do we go next? So let's come together. Let's spend a little bit of time in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this church here. I thank you for those who have selflessly given of themselves for so many years, serving on committees, fixing things around the church, doing volunteer ministry, reaching out to those who are in need, teaching the younger generations, and so many other things that have contributed to the life of this church. I thank you for each and every one of them. And I thank you also for those brothers and sisters who have chosen to go elsewhere for one reason or another. They were a blessing to us while they were here, and we pray that they will be a blessing on their new church family. They'll always be a part of our hearts. Lord, I thank you for each one of these brothers and sisters who's still here, and those who can't be with us for one reason or another this morning, but who are still an active part of our church family. We thank you, Lord, that you have been faithful. And I ask, Lord, that you will open our eyes to what you have in store for us next. That we may be able to continue being your hands and feet, your church in this community. That we may be able to wholly trust in you this day and every day. Pour out your blessings upon your church here. I pray today. As we come to your table today, let us come as your sons and daughters gathering at your table to receive an extra measure of your grace and your spirit today. May the receiving of this holy sacrament today be a fresh outpouring of your spirit and a fire of passion for you. That we may be a light in this community. And that we may see in our lifetimes a revival in this community, in this state, in this country, and in the world, unlike any that we have seen before. We love you, we trust you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us gathered here, upon our brothers and sisters who are watching online or who will be watching online at a later point. Pour out your Spirit upon the gift of bread and juice that serves as a constant reminder for us, as a means of grace to receive your blessings today. May we leave this place today filled with so much of your spirit that we can't help but share it with someone else. Be with us throughout the remainder of this service, I pray, as we come to receive this holy gift. In Jesus' name.